let me tell you something. Nobody who puts their hope in Jesus will be ashamed. Look, it does not matter where you are coming from. What matters is where God is taking you to. Let me tell you something, Psalms 20 verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So those people who trusted in chariots said, now they are brought down and they are falling. But we are standing and we are risen upright. Nobody who calls upon the name of Jesus will God refuse help. I'm speaking prophetically now. I see God pulling you out of the destruction in the economy and pulling you to a place of safety, that you might become beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence, that through you, God will begin to save people upon the earth.
You are now listening to the ministry of Bolu Olatunji.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because we know that the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that you enlighten our dark places. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Today, I have titled this podcast, Bloodied but Unbowed. Bloodied but Unbowed. And let us read the text. I was thinking whether I should start with a preamble before going into the text, but I think it's best for us to just hit the ground running. Psalms 34, and probably I'll just give the preamble after the text. Psalms 34, verse 18 to 20. Psalms 34, verse 18 to 20. The Lord is, I'm reading from the King James Version, so pardon the use of Shakespearean English. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, many times believers go through a lot of things. And sometimes people give up hope. They give in. They throw in the towel. And people abandon their faith and become philosophers. People become agnostic. And even some people become atheists because they have a lot of questions that they had no answers for. You hear things like, if God is good, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do this happen to that? And so on and so forth. King David, who also happened to be a prophet, was the one who has the most messianic writings in all of his writings. Next, after him comes Isaiah. If you look at the New Testament, much of the quotations that you know Apostle Paul even made reference to was from the book of Psalms and from the book of Isaiah, right? In chapter 34 of Psalms of the book of Psalms, where we just read, verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. This gives us a capture, right, of one of the things Jesus went through on the cross. After being persecuted, beaten, you know, had stripes on his body, bruised for us. When he was hung on the cross, even in the midst of all the pain that he went through, God saw to it that his bones were not broken. It was said in the Gospels that one of the soldiers, after having crucified Jesus, was going to break his bones. But they said no. And that this was to fulfill scripture, that none of his bones shall be broken. Now, in the Hebrew culture, bones signify identity. Bones, in our bones, consist our DNA. When you want to find someone other than his fingerprint, the blood and all that, they also look at the bones. Because the bone marrow is responsible for even providing the blood that we have to even extract the DNA, quote unquote, from. So let me start by saying this. Regardless of whatever it is that you are going through in life, you must see to it that your identity, who you are in Christ, your identity is unaffected, because the devil seeks to attack that identity. And when you lose grasp, when you lose hold of that identity in Christ, what happens is that the devil begins to win. Once you lose identity, once you lose the knowledge of who you are in him, the devil takes that foothold that he has gained in your life into a stronghold, and it's difficult for people to break loose. And that's where, like I said, people start saying, oh, why do bad things happen to good people? This and that. Jesus, the epitome or the example of perfection, went through horrible things, but still judged God faithful. Jesus was bloodied, but he was unbowed. Because even on the cross, when he had every right to lay curses, when he had every right to say words that were full of doubt, he still chose to judge God faithful and pray for the forgiveness of those who persecuted him. That is somebody who, despite what he had gone through, had his identity intact. So I'm going to be talking about three things today: love, wisdom, and goodness. The first, love. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Look, when you go through things in life, things that cost you to be bloodied, where you lose money, your business experiences a halt, you lose relationships, you lose a loved one, things are happening left, right, and center, front, right, front, left, and back. You are wondering what is happening. It almost looks like, I mean, Jesus at some point, you were like, Eloi, Eloi, why have you forsaken me? It looks like, you know, you were forsaken. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 49, when Zion was saying, it says, but the Lord has forsaken me. But then the Lord responded, and I think in verse 13 of Isaiah 49, he says, can a woman forget her suckling child? It says, though they may forget, I will not forsake you, for I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. You see that? So let me start by saying this. Regardless of whatever it is you are going through in life, it does not change how God sees you. It does not change God's love for you. God is not a fair weather partner. God is not a fair weather father. God is not a fair weather friend. God draws nearer to us even when we are going through things. The Bible says, for he is our ever-present help in time of trouble. So it means that when you are going through trouble, God is ever-present. God is not scarce when you are going through things. Is ever present. What happens is that our emotion seems to cloud our judgment. It seems to cloud our perception. Our emotions cloud our discernment. And that is why when you're going through things, one of the things you must do is worship. Because worship does not really remove the problem. It shifts our focus from the problems that we are going through and focuses it on the one who can solve it, which is the Lord our Father. So love. Whenever we are going through things that have cost our bodies and our souls to be bloodied, love is the thing, it's the culture that we are aware of that keeps us from being unbowed. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look, if you are dealing with an addiction, you are dealing with stuff. First off, before we even start solving that issue, know that you are not condemned. Know that God has not condemned you. 1 John says, even if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. God doesn't condemn us. Say after me, God does not condemn me. The same Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he went on to list several things. Is it tribulation? Is it distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. It means that when there is terrorist attacks, God still loves me. When there's tribulation in my business, in my relationship, God still loves me. When there's persecution, when people are slandering your name, saying things about you that are not true, God still loves you. When you're going through famine, when it looks like you don't have anything to eat, God loves you. It says, no, it says neither life nor death, even in the death of a loved one. It does not mean that God loves you less. It does not mean that God's love is removed from you. No, it's not true. It's the devil that comes to make it look like God has forsaken us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The writer of the book of Hebrews was saying, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God always keeps his word. So when you are going through stuff, before you pick up that phone to call your babe, speak to God first, because he's ever present. He loves you. He has made a pact that he will never leave you, neither will he forsake you. So believe it and engage him based on that promise. You are going through stuff. You fall to the ground. You say, God, you said that you will never leave me and forsake me. I'm here again. Help me. And it is when you believe in his love that you'll be able to live again. It is when you believe in his love that you will live. It says, for the just shall live by faith. Without faith, you cannot live really as a Christian. So when you have faith in the fact that he loves you, regardless of whatever it is that you're going through, you will live to see another day. And I pray that you will live to see many more days, many more years, in spite of whatever it is you are going through right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I surround you with faith and with love. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I surround you with the consciousness of God's love. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The next thing is wisdom. Wisdom. You might be bloody though, but in order for you to ensure that you are unbowed, that you keep your head up, and you don't remain in this valley, wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, you get understanding. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth out. She uttereth a voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth a word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. One of the reasons we continue to go through things, it's not even really because of demons. It's not because of them demons, as Reverend Moyaki Ojo would say, them demons, meaning demons. It's not because of your village people. It's usually because there is a deficit of wisdom. It is because there's a deficit of understanding. So someone says, I'm sorry that it was said, but it was said that if you want to hide things, if you want to hide things from a black man, put it in a book, and it is true. Somebody went on to say, he said that in Nigeria, the things that can help a black man are not in the books. And that's also not true. That's not true. I want you to get wisdom. If you find out that you keep losing money round and round and round again, you need to go and get wisdom. Go and find books. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 9, Daniel said, and I got understanding by books. You need to consult books. Read. Go for seminars, go for conferences, attend workshops. That's how you stop repeating. I remember there was a time I kept losing money. And I realized that the greatest investment was not in stocks. The greatest investment is not in real estate. The greatest investment is not in cryptocurrency or what have you. The greatest investment is in yourself, is in wisdom. And so I began to, every money I had, I bought books. Oh, I would spend hundreds of thousands of naira buying books. Every year I have a budget, and each year my budget for books, for courses, go higher and higher. And that's why when I go out to speak in places, I am accorded as a person of value. Are you following what I'm saying here? So sometimes if the issues you are going through in your life is financial, if it's even relationship issues, there is a wisdom deficit. And let me tell you, in all the books you buy, the greatest book that you must constantly engage is the Word of God. It's the Bible. Spend time, the book of Isaiah says, morning by morning, he waketh up my ear to hear his voice. Every morning when you wake up, or when you go to bed, or wherever you have apportioned time for to commune and to have a meeting with the Lord, consult the Word of God. Spend time engaging God through his Word, and you will receive wisdom for days. You will receive wisdom for years. Are you following what I'm saying here? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. It was talking about mercy and truth. Usually God helps you by his mercy because of how much knowledge you have. God's mercy usually comes upon the wisdom that you have. It comes on the deficit of wisdom that we have. But God's mercy is more potent even when there is wisdom in operation. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. Many times when we are going through things, we are going through struggles, we are going through stuff. Things that we are struggling with, sometimes it's not really a power problem, it's a wisdom problem. Because it is the truth that we know that sets us free. And this truth is distilled as wisdom. In the New Testament, we call it Rhema. where you are spending time praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, studying His Word, and God produces and God ministers an instruction to you. He ministers wisdom to you so that you know the way you should go. King David says, I hear a voice behind me saying this is the way to go. When you engage God through His Word and you consult books, you will hear a voice within you, the voice of the Holy Spirit, saying this is the way to go. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that He comes to remind us of the things that we know. So other than new things, He comes to minister to us. He also reminds us of the things that we have already encountered with our eyes or with our ears. So, but if you don't have any wisdom, if you don't have deposit of knowledge in your heart, what will the Holy Spirit come and remind you of? Are you following what I'm saying here? That is why it is important that we get wisdom in everything that we are getting. Hallelujah. The third thing is goodness. The goodness of God. The Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 2 verse 11, it says the goodness of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Let's open it very quickly. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Yeah. So I still do that sometimes. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So God's goodness comes to bring us wisdom. This third point is like unto the second that I just mentioned. Sometimes God tells you, don't collect that person's number. And you're like, it's harmless now. Because God has seen 7 months into the future that that person was going to cause you a heartache. But that heartache would have been avoided if you had not collected that person's number. The goodness of God, when God comes to guide you, is because of His inherent goodness to see that you are not hurt in the very first place. Some of the issues that we are going through, some of the pain we are going through, the Yorubas will call it afowofa. Now we cause them. We knew that we should not have done it, but we went ahead to do it. God's wisdom, God's goodness rather, comes as wisdom. And it will teach us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When God works in you, He will work in you with His wisdom. He will tell you, don't do this. Make this business decision. There are times that you knew you were not supposed to invest in that stock. You knew you were not supposed to buy that property. Now you're going through issues. Now you have lost, the value of that stock has plummeted. Are you following what I'm saying here? But you knew. Anyways, now that you've lost that thing, this is God's word for you. As I bring this to a close, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says, a righteous man might fall 7 times, but he will rise again. Look, let me tell you something. Yes, you did not listen to the voice of wisdom, and you have lost a lot of things. You have made mistakes. You are falling back. You are falling short. You have even thrown in the towel, but God's mercy is speaking for you today, though. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I surround you with faith and love. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I decree that God's mercy will speak for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 24:16, like I just said, it says a righteous man may fall. It didn't say anybody. It said a man who is righteous, a child of God, can still fall. Yes, it's true. You can make mistakes as a child of God. But our hope is that even in our falling, there is an opportunity to rise again. Why did he say 7 times? Why didn't he say 6 times? Why didn't he say 5 times? It says because the reason he says 7 times is because the promise is true. God has perfected it that no matter how many times you fall, He will see to it that as long as you call unto Him, He will ensure that you rise again. That is our promise, or that is God's promise to us, that we will rise again. So let me tell you, my brother and sister, my friends and folks, look, this chapter in your story is not the end of your story. You will rise again. Say amen. You will rise again. Your heart will be healed. You will recover all that you have lost. Those people who rejected you, they will come back to find you as the chief cornerstone. You know why? Because of the mercy of the Lord. Look, you might be bloody though, but God will see to it that you are not unbowed. How is He going to ensure that? This is what you need to do. Psalms 34, the same Psalm 34. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So yes, first off, start thanking God even for the things that you've lost. Thank God for the stock, for the money that you lost, for the relationships that you lost. Because God is ensuring that all these things are working together for your good. God is the one that turns messes, quote unquote, as people will say. He turns messes into messages. He turns disgrace into grace. Sorry that I'm using this rhyme. It's just so that you see, so that these things stick. Right? So get away and establish an altar of worship and say, Lord, I lift up these problems to you and I give you thanks for it. That's why they said in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, for they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives into death. When you read that scripture in the original Greek, it says they overcame him by testifying what the word of God has said that the blood of Jesus has done. So in other words, when you're going through these things, as you are going through right now, you say, Father, I thank you because your blood was shed for me. I thank you because you have sunk my iniquities, according to Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. You have sunk my iniquities into the very depths of the sea. Father, I thank you. I thank you because this thing will work for your glory. These issues I'm going through will work for your glory. Verse 2 of Psalms 34, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, it says, they looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Let me stop here. When we worship God, that is how we look unto him. And when we look unto him, our faces are lightened. Instantly, you begin to receive the wisdom that you discarded that brought you into this mess. Because when God will deliver you, he will not just deliver you by power. He will also minister wisdom to you. He will tell you the books to go and buy. He will tell you the people to listen to. He will bring you into the corridors of new relationships where he will tell you to partner with. But we must look unto God, no matter what you are going through. Even when your back is against the ground, don't put your head down. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. God is the maintainer of your destiny. It does not matter how many times the devil beats you down. Get up again. Get up again and refuse to stay down. Refuse to stay down. Don't let the confessions of your mouth change. For God is the author and the finisher of my faith. I made this mistake. I backslid. But God is perfecting my faith. And look, this is how your faith rises. Because worship ensures you to keep God's goodness in focus. For every time you see God's goodness and testify of it, he sees your faith and he responds likewise. Hallelujah. God bless you.
This message has been brought to you by Campfires, a God breath ministry with a mission to raise believers as beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence, through the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. You can find this message on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To partner with us or to download more messages, visit our Telegram channel at t.me/campfiresofficial. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media at campfiresofficial. God bless you.